You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I'm your storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler.
The one that was posted a few minutes ago, Gordy.
What?
That's the thing?
The one that you said, and then it left my head.
Uh-oh.
Wait. Oh, that wasn't a...
Yeah, that wasn't a one.
You're talking
Gordy.
About something
that
was... else.
What?
You're what talking about happening? A Discord suggestion. I thought I got confused for a second. Thought you meant there was a title a few minutes ago, and then I forgot it.
Do we need to fresh take this?
I don't know.
Do we ever?
Or just keep it real?
I don't think we've ever done that.
Yeah, we have never done a fresh take. We have never talked for like 15 minutes and then said, whoops, we forgot to start the episode. Scrap that. Let's start over.
Are you being sarcastic?
Yes.
I don't remember ever doing
I don't remember
that.
Doing that.
I think we've done that at least once.
Really? I don't think so.
I don't ever remember. We have scrap starts and try to.
We're about to do it to this one.
I feel like we just barrel through.
We should start this one over though, ironically. But now I kind of want to keep it because it's an interesting self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, get
we're like sharks. Folklore sharks.
How are we like sharks?
We just keep moving.
We circle around.
No, we just keep going. We can't go back.
We smell blood from far away.
And we can't stop.
I'm Gordy, the deviled eggs advocate. Thank you, Mr. McAnulty. On Twitter once again. Don't know how much of this is going to stay in the final cut.
Hashtag what I'm Gordy.
We'll see how it sounds.
All right, deviled eggs advocate. What do we do on this show? Aside from be sharks, apparently.
Carmen is going to read a strange fairy tale to Tyler and I, one that we have never heard before, and we hope one that maybe some of you have never heard before, and we are going to, in the oral tradition, we're going to retell it and say update it and attempt to fix any plot holes or problems that it has.
Through modernization.
This is the next step on the folklore journey. And we're just gonna, like, all the problems, get them cleared up.
Yep.
Give it a fresh coat of paint,
new oil.
That's the
folklore guarantee that we have never once failed to accomplish.
Train
completely.
Is pulling on into old What the Folklore station.
We're gonna leave here with a shiny brand new story.
Mm-hmm. Like one of those pennies that you press in the crank machine.
You won't be able to use this story for any kind of legal currency.
You start with something useful, and it is going to come out the other side
with
warped
an intrinsic
and useless.
Value.
And it will cost you an extra 25 cents on top of your penny.
It's an apt metaphor, actually.
Yeah. We will take 25 cents worth of your time and turn it into something you can't use ever again.
This podcast is free, folks. For now and forever.
Speaking of free, we have an executive producer who paid for this episode.
For whom it was not free.
This episode is brought to you all by Timothy, aka Hidden Jester, on our Discord server, who we have bequeathed the Arne Thompson type 675, the fool, as in jester, whose wishes always came true. Because I hope to make that a reality for you.
May your wishes, most of them, come true. I've heard some of your wishes on Discord, and not all of them would end well for the world.
I don't care. I think that's great. All of them come true.
You are an agent of chaos.
Like the Joker. Get it?
Yeah.
Did you get that from the movie?
Yeah, but he's lame.
An agent of chaos. Did you get it? Like when he said it in the movie, point blank?
Yeah.
And
did you get like Joker and Jester and Fool are also all related words? Like it's a very good joke on many levels that Gordy just did for you right there.
I'd like to slow it down and replay it and just kind of break it apart as we go.
I would like Heath Ledger's Joker a heck of a lot more. If he was like, why so serious, Batman? Also, have you heard about this bus idea I have?
I thought you were going to say if he gave us money every month.
Also that.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
You've set a whole pile of it on fire. You can't
We could have used that Heath Ledger. Yeah.
Little bet. Patreon tip jar. Patreon.com/whatthefolklore. That's not right. /WTFolklore.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we are being sent to Norway this week by our good friend Jenna.
Norwegia.
Jenna, who has gifted us the very adorable Hans My Hedgehog and the very horrifying Madame d'Aulnoy Amaguri figures. Yeah,
I just looked at it again.
Yeah, she's staring at us as we do this podcast. But so is Owl and Hans, and they're much more pleasant to look upon.
Yeah, I feel like I lock eyes with d'Aulnoy, and then I look to the side, and Hans and Owl are just like, it's okay, bud. We're here, too.
It's all right. Not everything is yellow dwarves.
We're going to hold her back this week.
So Jenna has suggested that we read Tatterhood.
Tatterhood?
Yes. Which bears no relation to Red Riding Hood or any of the other hoods that we may or may not have encountered in the past.
So how many are there? What are the variants?
Is it a Red Riding Hood story?
It is not.
It's just another person with a hood name.
Yeah. This is, in fact, Arn Thompson type 711, the beautiful and the ugly twin.
Mm. Have we done that before?
We have had twins, one of whom was hot.
The flayed old lady kind of became that. Like halfway through the story.
Green Serpent might have had a bit of that going on.
So we've seen elements.
Yeah. So this is, I pulled this one from my favorite site, pit.edu. Thank you, pit.edu, for supplying us with so many good folklore resources and for having footnotes at the bottom that mean I don't have to remember to do research of my own.
Are you really going to call it your favorite site?
It's one of them.
What if Sir Laloon is listening?
Sir Laloon needs to get their typo game in order.
Sir Laloon is crying dyslexically in the corner.
Once
Sir Laloon is crying is my favorite David Bowie album.
So this pit.edu sourced their version of this folklore from our good friends Zab Jornsen and Mo, which was translated by George Webb Dissent in 1859.
You're talking about Jorgen Mo?
Yep.
Jorgen Mo.
Good old Jorgen.
It's been a while.
It has been.
It feels good to say again.
So George,
in my mouth,
it's like an old friend, and the taste of an old friend.
It's like
in
a
my
bicycle
mouth
that I haven't licked in years. That's what you guys do too,
just,
right?
Just some of my favorite summer days when I was a kid,
licking bicycles and riding ice cream cones. And the translation was revised by D. L. Ashleman in 2001. So that's where we stand. Thank you, Jenna, for the suggestion.
Thanks, Jenna.
Thanks, Jenna. Thank you, Norway, for the story.
Thanks, Norway.
Norway for the storeway. As my brain would like to say.
It's Norway or the storeway.
All right. You guys ready?
Sure.
Yeah.
Once there was a king and a queen who had no kids. Once there was a king and a queen who had no kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the queen was...
Did they want them?
Yeah, they did.
How many? What kind?
Especially the queen.
Like what a boy, though?
What kind of animals?
No, like a kid.
Is it negotiable?
Like, they just want a kid. The queen.
What kind of kid? Like, anything they can get?
Little kid in a sailor suit with a big old lollipop?
Yeah, like that one preferably.
Like a sentient bundle of twigs? Like, just whatever?
Full of whimsical non sequiturs.
Sure.
Like wolves is food. Thanks, kid.
Okay, and then a fairy overhears her, and then they get a kid who's weird.
It's just like a twisted little kid in a tattered hood who just kills mice for fun.
A tattered hood of its own flesh. It's
it peeled off like a snake.
It's like a growth.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
Of a kind.
We're done for this week.
It's
story
like a Batman
told.
Villain.
You guys did it. You guys told the whole folktale.
Send it to the asylum, this tattered hood.
But in the end, tattered hood, married a something and ended up okay, but had, some help with animals or whatever.
Yeah, and then later on, people wrote fan fiction about how tattered hood and Robin kiss all the time.
All right, good job, guys. You told the whole story. I'm going to tell a slightly different version of that, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jorgen Moe's version. I wouldn't deign to presume that came from Jorgen Moe.
not our good friend, the golden boy, Jorgen Moe. And his Ebbjornsson friend, whoever that guy is.
Jorgen Moe, the star child of folklore.
So the queen was always sad and always crying and complaining about how dull and lonesome the palace was without any, like, yelping hellspawn.
There have to be kids around.
Yeah, other people exist and also procreate, but they're not hers. So they don't count.
Adoption is an option.
Well, whenever she wandered around her realm, she would see children everywhere, even in the most poor of huts. And she'd listen to the women scolding the children and thought, it'd be really nice to be able to do that.
Wish I could beat on a little shit.
I want to yell at a child.
It's a hobby.
Seems nice.
I got a lot of, like, pent-up emotions. It'd be great to scream at a four-year-old.
I have a lot of regrets that I would like to pin on a child.
Like acupuncture.
I was never in the MLB. I would like to make my kid do that.
So the king and the queen get sick of waiting for a kid, and they do, in fact, adopt one.
They know that waiting isn't the thing that you do, right?
For a kid?
There's an actionable process in which to get one.
You gotta make the beans, kid.
So they just sat around thinking, like, maybe one will just turn up. They're royalty, though.
Yeah.
So that is what happens for everything else.
That's true.
Like, if they are hungry, they will sit, and food will turn up for them. Like, someone will anticipate that need. So it does kind of make sense that they would just sit and be like, we want a kid. Where is it? Someone bring us the kid.
I figured we'd have one by now.
We rang the bell.
we fired all the servants.
The flyer said 30 minutes or less.
It should not have been
30 minutes. They're going to be mad when they find out it takes 9 months.
So they adopt a girl to have with them and to love her if she did things well and to scold her if she did them poorly, as they wanted.
Kid things.
Just like she was their own kid.
Yep.
Taught her to lick a bike.
Yeah.
All the things that parents do.
Make those good summer memories.
Taught her how to pitch a kite.
I just got an image of a kid, like, chucking a kite.
Yeah. Fastball special. Yeah. Charlie Brown style.
How else do you get it into the air?
One day, the adopted daughter was running around in the palace yard and playing with a golden apple.
A golden apple, you say?
A golden apple, I say.
Where'd that come from?
Was that on our watch list of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's something that appears in a bony kind of situation.
Yeah.
A lot. A bony daughter.
If golden apples are near, bony can't be far.
That's what it says on all the flyers.
So an old beggar woman came by with another little girl, and the adopted girl and the beggar girl became great friends and threw the apple at each other, as kids do.
Yeah.
The true mark of friendship.
That's probably like playing catch rather than just chucking it at each other.
We played a game where we threw small rocks at each other, but you had to do it with your feet.
That was like a good game.
Like,
it was a good game.
They had to get air.
What?
The rocks?
Like, you had to pick up a rock with your toes.
Oh, I see.
Like, and throw it.
Like a chimp.
like a chimp.
Like a chimp with his hands full of food.
Like some kind of driveway chimp.
In between licking the bikes.
Yeah.
All right. The queen sees from the window that her adopted child is playing with
the rabble.
Yeah. And taps on the pane of the window for her foster daughter to, like, come up and see her. So the adopted daughter goes up at once, but the beggar girl comes with her, and they hold each other's hands the whole way.
Because they're friends.
Yeah. And the queen begins to scold her adopted daughter for debasing herself with this tattered beggar's brat and begins to drive the other girl down the stairs.
Like with a golf club?
Sure. Whatever's handy. The beggar girl says, "If you knew my mom's power, you wouldn't drive me out."
Fairy witch.
And the queen says, "Oh, what do you mean?" And the beggar girl says, "My mom can get you children if she wanted to."
Can get you children?
Yeah.
Like more, like for them to keep?
My mom knows a guy.
Children to keep?
Yeah, she can get her a kid.
Okay, they have a kid.
My mom works at Nintendo.
Yeah, but this one doesn't count because she's adopted.
Oh, they want like a real, they want one that can inherit.
This is like a temp child. Temp agency child. Yeah. So the queen didn't believe her, but the girl insisted that this was true. So the queen had the beggar woman brought to her. And she says, do you know what your daughter says? And the beggar woman has no idea, but probably assumes it's filthy words, which is usually what happens when you bring a parent into a situation. It's like, do you know what your kid said to me?
Probably like, bitch hole. I've heard that around the house lately.
I need to keep her off the internet sites.
Was it dog fucker?
I think I chose like the wrong 10 seconds to zone out. Someone rewind the tape.
You'll get it later when you edit
I'll pick it up from context.
So the queen
says...
Did she
call you the champion of Bukkake? She's a filthy little shit.
We really got to get this parental controls on the internet.
Yeah.
And the queen tells the beggar woman, she says that you can get me children. And the beggar woman says, queen shouldn't listen to beggar girls' silly stories. And then the old woman just walks out of the room.
That's fair advice.
Yeah, I mean, what are the odds?
Also, don't go sniffing into my business. I got a good thing going, queen.
So that was a deal that did not go down well.
Mm-mm. No.
That was so Walter White shows up at the chicken restaurant and Gus Fring passes him over.
Well, it's a very high priority client to take on.
That's true. You could invite a lot of scrutiny that you don't want.
Yeah, in your child business.
You're yeah.
So apparently the old beggar woman left by herself, leaving her kid there in the room with the other kid. So the queen is angry and tries to drive out the beggar kid again. The
beggar kid was a free sample.
But the beggar kid says, no, just trust me, she can totally do it. You just got to get her drunk first.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll totally help you. She'll tell you whatever. Just get her schlockered. Slosh her up. So the queen is totally ready to try this. And so she grabs the beggar woman again and treats her to as much wine and mead as she wants until she's super drunk and gives the following drunken instructions. Make them, whoever they are, bring in 2 pails of water some evening before you go to bed. Wash yourself in each of them. Then throw the water under your bed.
No.
Nice.
When you look under your bed the next morning, 2 flowers will be there. 1 beautiful, 1 ugly.
Step 1. You and the king have to go to Clamtown tonight.
Listen. No, listen. I'll do the magic, but you gotta do it too.
You gotta get stinky water.
You gotta do your own.
Sleep in it.
Do your own magic to each other. Downstairs magic.
Downstairs magic in Clam Water Town.
Downstairs magic, Clam Water Town. And then. There's children.
Yeah, so...
There's how children happen.
After the fun part's over, you get a kid.
It's not worth it, though. Take it from me.
Look at that little shit you couldn't get rid of. There's a reason I left her in your room. You could just have her. But no. So wash yourselves in this water pail. Pour it under your bed. Hope you like mold. Because so much mold's going to grow, you're going to have 2 flowers. One's beautiful, one's ugly.
You're going to have 2 flowers. One's beautiful, one's asbestos.
Eat the beautiful one.
No,
one, just ignore it. It's not even there. It's not even a thing. Just let it grow. It's fine.
What?
Just don't eat the ugly one.
Believe it.
Fuck it. Whatever. It's not even a thing. It'll die. It doesn't get sunlight under your bed.
Is this woman actually a fairy?
She's drunk.
But is she a fairy? Do we know this?
It never says directly okay. She's a fairy.
Okay. I was.
And don't.
Remember.
Whatever you do, don't forget what I just told you.
It would be hard to.
Regarding the ugly flower and the not eating of it, don't forget that.
Is this an eye of the beholder thing, or is it very clear that
no,
one
it's
is an ugly flower?
It's gonna be ugly. You're gonna look at that flower and you're gonna be like, nah.
It's stinky.
You'll look at that flower and say, I don't want to eat that.
That's an ugly flower. The plating's all bad.
That other flower looks so good.
Mary Berry would hate this flower.
You're going to look at that ugly fucking flower. You say, it's not scrummy. That other flower is scrummy. I'm going to eat the other flower.
Gore Ramsay would shut down the restaurant with that ugly flower. He'd yell them so hard. All right, so she does follow the advice, but when she eats the pretty flower, it is so delicious, like so sweet and scrummy, that she's like, well, it can't hurt to have an extra flower in my face. And then she eats the ugly
one. Stink flower.
What other food would you do that to? Like, this cake that looked great, I ate it, so good, went down smooth, would kind of like more cake. That one has been molding in the back of the fucking freezer for 8 months.
And it's got freezer burn on it.
Yeah, it's actually shit. That somebody molded in the shape of a cake. But I bet it's just as good.
But I want cake.
It's basically a meatloaf that someone sat on. I'm just going to eat it.
Get in my belly, little Debbies.
So after a while, the queen was brought to bed, which I guess is a euphemism for goes into labor, because she does give birth to a girl who has a wooden spoon in her hand and rides on a goat. And I'm assuming all of this came out in one big package.
Ooh, she didn't get to do the spoon, then the girl, then the goat.
She ate the bad flower?
Yeah.
This is a coma.
Which part of that was the result of the bad flower?
The coma part, this girl, where none of this is happening.
This girl is disgusting and ugly to look upon, and the moment she came into the world, she bawled out, Mama!
So what's... Okay, what is the result of the good flower, then?
And she got a goat out of the deal.
She was... Real the good flower goat. Is just for the goat.
That's just transport,
she just,
baby.
She just said she could get you a kid.
That's true.
You're welcome. So the queen takes one look at
like a goat does
at goat spoon girl.
Gordy's doing like a goat thing.
Yeah, I got that. And says, if I'm your mama, God give me grace to mend my ways.
Not a great start at parenting.
No, I mean, she didn't really do a good job with her practice kids. So
step one in mending your ways. Follow fucking instructions.
And then the Uggo goat girl says, oh, don't be sorry.
I'm going to eat you in your sleep.
One is coming after me who is better looking.
I got a twin on the way.
I'm just here to deliver the news.
I'm like a little goat trumpeter out of your don't bean
zone. Don't mind me. I already got a job.
Why is goat girl Edwad?
Why not?
That's basically Edwad Emberpants.
I'm already employed.
Me and goat got a sweet deal.
After a while, the queen has another girl who is so beautiful and sweet that no one had ever seen anyone lovelier. And they named the elder twin, the ugly one, Tatterhood, because she was ugly and ragged and also wore a tattered hood around her ears.
Sure. Was it made of skin?
Sure.
I mean, what, she came out fully clothed?
Yeah, and mounted and armed.
With a spoon.
Yeah. While the nurses tried to shut her away in a room by herself, it did no good because no one could keep the twins apart. The other twin does not get a name. So
which one?
The pretty one.
Doesn't get a name?
Nope.
What's the bad one's name?
Tatterhood. It's Tatterhood. Wait. And the pretty twin. Their band is sick.
Oh, I got something mixed up.
So one Christmas Eve, when the girls were half grown up, there was a frightful noise in the hallway outside the queen's apartment. Tatterhood goes and asks what that was, and the queen says, it's not worth asking about. It's cool.
Can we come up with a name for the other twin?
Sure.
The hot twin?
Yeah.
Gustavo.
Tatterhood and Gustavo?
Gustavarina.
This is a Norwegian tale, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gustavarina sounds right.
Tatterhood and Beautiface.
I'll leave you two to fight that one out.
We need a consensus.
I like Gustavarina.
Gustavarina.
Done.
Gustavarina Beautiface.
Yeah, first name Gustavarina the Beautiface. Let's just combine them.
Yeah. Tatterhood does not let the queen get away with not giving her an answer and just bugs her until the queen tells her. It is a pack of trolls and witches who had come to the castle to celebrate Christmas, and we should just leave them alone.
Was it?
Did they invite them?
Is it August? When is Troll Christmas?
And this is regular Christmas Eve, I think.
You would think that they would know if they were having a bunch of people over.
I guess they just figure if they let them have their party this once, they won't be bothered again.
Nah, that's not how it works.
Well, Tatterhood says, okay, well, I'm going to go drive them away. And they're like, no, just leave them alone. But no one could convince her to just let them do their partying. So she rides off on her goat with her wooden spoon to hunt and drive away the hags. And tells everyone, like, make sure your doors stay closed during this entire proceedings. So they hear a huge commotion in the gallery that causes the whole palace to creak and groan as if every beam was going to be torn out of its place.
Come on, goat. It's time for action. We're going to go play Die Hard with some trolls.
Oh, no.
The twin sister...
Call me Tatter McLean.
The twin sister, against Tatterhood's wishes, did open a door a little bit to peep out and see how Tatterhood was doing out there.
Mm-hmm.
And she stuck her head just a little bit out through the cracked spring, but pop, up came an old witch who whipped off her head and replaced it with a calf's head.
She was waiting.
Yeah, just lying in wait.
Like,
one of these doors will open, I have just the cow's head for the unlucky.
But like a real cow head.
Yeah, so...
Like, not a mask.
No, it's a calf's head.
Ugh.
So the princess runs back to her room on all fours and mooing.
Is there a calf with her head now?
Nah, her head's just, like, in the possession of this witch.
Oh, she swapped them.
Yeah, swapsies.
Gotcha.
So when Tatterhood finishes her business and goes back into the room and sees her sister galloping about on all fours and mooing with a calf's head, she scolds everyone for not keeping... better watch over her twin, and for being so careless as to let her look out the door.
You all had one fucking job, and you couldn't do it.
I'm gonna go set her free. Give me a ship with a full set of sails and good load of stores.
Tatterhood and Goat need a fleet.
But no captain or sailors.
That's me.
Because I am going to sail with my sister alone.
Not the goat?
And the goat.
And
of course,
the goat.
The goat and I are one. We were born together. I am one with Goat and Spoon. We're never parted. So she sails off and she steers the ship to the land where the witches live.
Witch Island.
She gets to a landing place and she instructs her sister to sit still on the ship. And presumably her sister just like moves.
Doesn't, because is a cow.
Yeah.
Has a cow mind.
And then she goes on her goat to the witch's castle. One of the windows in the gallery was open, and she could see her sister's head hung up in the window frame, so she jumped her goat through the window, stole the head, and rode off. The witches came after her, thick as a swarm of bees, flocking around her, but the goat butted them with its horns, and Tatterhood beat them with wooden spoons, and the witches had to give up.
This is a goddamn amazing adventure.
That's a very good spooning goat.
This is an incredible heist. This little toddler in a tattered hood.
I wish.
She's half grown up, so she's like 10.
Yeah, well, sure. She rides a goat through a goddamn window, and the witches are like a swarm of bees in the sky as she fights them she off with a spoon.
Swats them away.
This is a very good movie. No changes.
This is like the end of Harry Potter, but it's the beginning of our story.
So Tatterhood makes it back to the ship and replaces her sister's head with the real head. And the two of them decide instead of going home, they're just going to like sail around.
Yes.
Yes. Keep going.
100% I'm behind that decision.
Keep going. There are things I need.
They sailed a long, long way.
What happens to the goat or the cow head?
They just chuck it.
Poofs. Back.
They back. Chuck it?
Yeah. They don't
keep it as a friend?
They don't mount it on the front of their ship?
To talk to them?
Yeah.
No. That's how we can improve the story. So the cow's head becomes the
Zordon?
Yeah.
It's their second Disney sidekick. With goat, cow head that just hops around.
Yeah.
And it does the hey hey thing where it moves and falls over.
Yeah.
It's like how Ariel had Flounder and Sebastian.
Exactly.
All right, so they sail a long, long way to a strange king's realm.
Please.
The king was a widower with an only son.
Please.
I don't know what you're looking for.
We'll get there.
Adventure.
I if you're looking for...
No. Okay. No. 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 I can't know.
Widower with an only son. And when they saw the strange sail, they sent their messengers down to the beach. But they only see Tatterhood on board, riding around the deck on her goat at full speed.
Just doing laps.
Yeah, with her hair streaming in the wind.
Excellent.
They ask her if anyone else is on board, and she stops the goat riding to say that her sister's there. And they want to see her sister, and she says, no. Mm-mm. Not unless the king himself comes.
Kings only.
And then when
to the spoon.
And when she has declared her, like, what they need to do, she goes back to galloping in circles around the goat.
Cackling.
All right, so the king comes pretty quickly to the boat to see what's up. And Tatterhood...
What the fuck is the commotion down here?
Tatterhood brings out her sister, and the king falls in love with her sister immediately. Again, I don't know how long they've been sailing.
Yeah, what is the age difference?
Because if it's less than a year, then they're still like 10 years old.
Yeah, that's questionable.
So we're going to say long, long way was like a good 6 years of sailing.
They're like, yeah, they're a few adventures deep at this point.
Yeah, they've done other things. We'll find stories about twin sisters or whatever.
We gotta leave room for prequels.
So it brings both of the sisters to the palace, and he wants to make, what did we name her?
Gustavarina.
Gustavarina, his queen. But Tatterhood will not consent to her sister's marrying unless she can marry the prince. So these twins are gonna be married to a dad and a son. Super weird.
You can have my sister, but I get your boy.
Your boy is all mine.
And I'll turn your boy into a man. The prince is not pleased and is...
Dad, no, no, Dad.
It's basically a whiny bitch about this.
Dad, no!
Because
my sister can't be my mom.
Because Tatterhood was such an ugly hussy.
How dare he?
In the words of the story. But the king, his dad, and other palace people who are around basically bully him into this. No, son, you don't get... I gotta tap that so bad. Marry the hussy. Marry the hussy so daddy can have a pretty mom.
Daddy's going to explain to you a concept called instant gratification.
It's a vital skill for all kings to have. Now you marry this one. So daddy can have his.
It trumps even my love for you as my son.
Are you a cool coat? I do not care about you. All right, so the prep for... he gets bullied into it, but it goes sore against his grain, and he is a very sad man.
If you were, like, made of gold, or if you were magic, maybe I'd care a little more. But you're just my idiot son.
And this chick...
So you're gonna sit down, you're gonna shut up, and you're gonna marry that Tatterhood.
Because look at the rack on this one.
My boring, normal son.
She'd be beautiful even if she had a cow for a head, I bet.
So the prep for the wedding happens and they go to the church, but the prince thinks that this is the worst church service of his life. And as they ride away from the church, he looks like he is riding to his funeral. After riding for a bit, Tatterhood asks him why he's not talking. And he's like, what should I talk about?
Let's get to know each other.
For starters, maybe ask me why I'm on this ugly goat.
Okay, why are you on an ugly goat?
Is it an ugly goat? Why, it's the most beautiful horse a bride ever rode. And instantly the goat becomes the finest horse the prince has ever seen.
Whoa.
This does not stun him at all. He is
not impressed.
He's still super sad and silent, and they keep riding. And so then she's like, well, why don't you ask me about the spoon?
That didn't do it, huh?
So he asks about the spoon. She says, this isn't a spoon. It's a lovely silver fan.
Son of a bitch.
Turns into a silver fan. Yeah, sorry, friend. I know what you were looking for. I was looking for it, too. She's magical, though. She's disqualified for that reason.
Okay.
The prince was still sad. And so she's like, why don't you ask me about my ugly gray hood? And he asks her, and it turns into a golden crown. Like, they do this again and ask about her ugly gray face. And she says, no, I'm 10 times more beautiful than my sister. And whoosh, she is 10 times more beautiful.
then the hottie in front, and
I just choose not to be because it's wicked.
Because it's sweet.
The prince is no longer sad once your face is pretty.
Oh, that looks nice.
Boner. I can talk now. So they chat just fine. Then they both drink the bridal cup, and then they all set out, the prince, Tatterhood, the king, and Gustav Arena. Get set out to the princess's palace.
The one they originally came from?
Yeah.
They're going back home?
The sisters, yeah, so that they can have another wedding party and drink again from the bridal cup.
Yeah.
And there's no end to the celebration, so now run quickly to the king's palace, and there will still be a drop of bridal ale left for you.
Talking to me?
You and Gordy, if you run fast enough.
I don't want it.
Well, tough titties.
I don't want to go to Clam Town.
All right, so we got some stuff to discuss.
I really wish it had been a knife.
I know. But she is magical. And while she has the gumption required of the Church of the Knife, she...
Is that a previously established rule?
Yeah.
I'm not remembering?
Non-magical women.
They are mortal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe we have instituted that rule.
I mean, it makes sense. I just don't remember.
Yeah, they are not magical. They cannot rely on magic.
I would like to propose...
I mean, magic has happened to some of them.
A potential bony daughter situation.
To whom?
Tatterhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Explain the mechanics and...
Okay,
and,
well, first off, we've got a golden apple.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, signifier.
Which summons this beggar woman who can give her a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a kid who displays a lot of the same kind of attitude and magical traits as the other bony daughter.
Certainly. Right in line.
And she did not get born of the queen by normal means.
Yeah, I would like for you to explain the mechanics that you have in mind.
Well, either Bony himself is disguised...
Do bony daughters reincarnate?
Potentially.
I don't know if we've seen direct evidence of that, but it's possible.
Yeah, we've mostly encountered bony daughters as already grown people. And it could be argued that Tatterhood is pretty much a grown person in a baby on a goat.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, for anybody who might be newer, when we say bony daughter, we mean daughters of Koschei the Deathless.
A.K.A.
Also known as Immortal Bony.
There are 12 of them.
We're tracking them.
We try to recognize them where we can. I mean, if we get to more than 12, something has happened.
Then we have a fucking, like, a mole or something.
Then we have an issue on our hands.
She would be low on the list of bony daughters. Like, she would probably be the first one disqualified from that potential.
Just because of the strange sort of...
Right, the link is a little loose with the golden apple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's born from dirt.
She's born from water.
Flour.
Yeah.
Water and bad flour.
Yeah. Flowers come from underground. Bony lives there.
I think...
Bony lives in the dirt. Flowers live in the dirt.
One of Bony's other daughters was transformed into a flower.
Yeah.
She got bummed when...
What?
Like
when,
you do.
When was this? Which one?
This was the frozen spittle one.
Mm.
She told the guy not to like hug anybody or whatever.
Yeah, and he immediately did.
Right, and then she turned herself into a flower and was bummed out. So like,
sure,
they are able to transform like that.
Yeah, are you suggesting that she was willingly ingested?
Yes,
and then pretended to be born.
Yes, because it's not clear in the story if she was born in the traditional way or if the queen like went to bed
and woke up and there was a goat.
Yeah, there was a goat kid with the promise of another kid following.
Do we know that she came out of the queen?
We don't know that she came out of the queen.
There's no like video evidence of that.
Right, it does not say, and the queen pushed and then a goat showed up.
Because otherwise, like... She was willing to be a flower, like bide her time as a flower or as dirty bathwater or whatever, be eaten and then be birthed, which is like a pretty bony daughter kind of move.
It is. Was the clammy shit water like a portal into the castle for bony kin? as I'm going to choose to call them from now on.
Well, yeah, that's good.
Because it's easier than Boney's daughters.
Here's like a super nutso thought.
I always love those.
That you can disregard if you think it's way too out there.
I'm going to say no right off the bat.
Old Crone.
Too disregarding.
Boney's colleague.
Yeah.
The Baba Yaga.
Yep.
Who is in charge of the waters of life and death.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps this is some kind of like weird reincarnation thing that needed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like Boney's daughter.
She owed Boney a solid.
Yeah. And so.
One of his daughters overextended.
It's two pails of water.
It is.
Like it's not just one.
Yep.
So.
Very specifically.
And she has to wash herself in both and then pour both under the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've encountered with the waters of life and death, you have to pour the water of death over first to make a body whole and then the water of life.
Yeah.
So. Maybe, like, one of his daughters underwent an accident.
Right. Overextended herself on a mission.
Right. And so...
She's a loose cannon, as we clearly see.
Now, she is the ugly flower, which she was not supposed to eat.
Yeah.
So it is possible that, like, the ugly flower was just supposed to stay there, right?
Under the bed?
Was it... Okay. I'll let you say your theory, and then I'll present my own that I'm formulating.
Okay, so Pretty Flower was the one that was supposed to be eaten and turned into the daughter of the queen.
Yes.
Ugly Flower was to be left alone.
Yes.
And so Ugly Flower, if the queen had followed instructions, could have just transformed into normal Boney daughter and been fine.
Sure.
Like, gone out. But then the queen didn't follow instructions, but luckily the Boney daughters are pretty good at improvising. And so went through this whole...
I'm your daughter.
To, like, establish herself as a daughter.
Yeah. My theory is that the telling the queen not to eat ugly flower was reverse psychology.
I will accept that one, too.
Because telling royalty not to do a thing is almost an activation word to get them to do it.
It is That's the trigger true. Word.
Here's my compromise to that. If she had followed instructions, the Boney daughter would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, been a full-grown Boney daughter, like usual.
Yeah.
But they knew she was likely not to, so, like, this was the contingency plan.
Well, I'm just wondering if the ingestion was key to part of the revival.
The real waters of life and death are in her stomach.
Yeah.
Potentially. See, I think the other one, the pretty twin, is not a Boney daughter.
Where'd she come from?
I think she is just magic? Yeah, I think she is a magic sham kid. I like this.
Does she ever speak?
No.
Like, it's not even, like, suggested that she might be speaking, and we just don't hear it. Mm. Like, the only times we hear her make noise is when she moves as a cow.
Correct.
Okay.
She is a quiet, pretty sham daughter. She's not as on it as Tatterhood either. Mm-hmm. Like, Tatterhood's the one that goes and deals with things.
Sure.
And was speaking at birth.
There is some kind of, like, sentience, though, because she does peek out of her own volition.
Yeah.
She's sentient.
Yeah.
Like, she's conscious.
I'm just saying, it's not like some kind of, like, changeling husk or something.
Yeah, she's not a homunculus.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
She could be a changeling.
Yeah.
I mean, Boney is adjacent to fairylands, and
right.
changelings are potential things that happen. Also, we do have a missing kid in the situation here now, because foster daughter just vanishes.
Sure. I mean, foster daughter and beggar daughter.
Yes, both of them. Well, beggar daughter presumably goes back with drunk beggar.
Presumably. Yeah.
Foster daughter is probably with her. So this could be a changeling situation as well.
Yeah.
Or an idiot.
Or that.
Maybe the daughter's just an idiot.
I think Pretty Twin was the payment to the queen to revive a Boney daughter.
It's a mutual scratching of backs.
Right.
And Boney can't do this himself. Like, they require some human participant.
Either that or, like, our two theories are that Boney is behind sort of the planting of his daughters into kingdoms.
Yeah.
Or that they are rebelling against him and infiltrating human kingdoms.
Yeah,
we're not
sure.
We haven't decided which is which or if it's both.
Right.
Yes.
Because he chases them for a bit, but just for a bit.
Yeah.
I kind of do like the idea that it is his plan to get them there, and they, as a unit, have decided to go along with it, but are going to rebel afterwards.
Yeah,
or that they think they're rebelling, and
but it's all part of the plan.
Yeah, he's just utilizing their natural teenageriness to his own ends.
also possible.
Like, Daddy doesn't want you to marry that prince. A wink.
He's very good.
Yeah, I'm going with this is a bony daughter situation. The golden apple was a plant.
Yeah.
That was a signal.
It is like a signal fire.
Yeah. Like
typically.
That is what brings people to a situation. And this does open up the possibility that Bony's daughters can re-infiltrate kingdoms.
Re-infiltrate?
Like, if they grow old and die or die through other means, they can potentially be...
I mean, eternal.
They right. could, like, they could affect multiple kingdoms over multiple generations.
Potentially, yeah.
Like, once they're done with one, they can move on to another. Right. In a different
that is a,
form.
That is a thing to maybe consider. I guess, know that they can have sense. Kids.
I guess the only lingering question then is to what end?
And what are they doing with these?
Yeah.
Like if it is just a foregone conclusion that they can and will do this because like it is a battle of attrition and we cannot win against an immortal Bony, then why do it?
Well, I think that is the bigger question in the Book of Doug, because fairies and birds and the Bonies are all maneuvering through human kingdoms.
Yeah.
Like chess pieces.
Right.
Mm.
So, like, our ultimate question is, what side is the Bony situation on? Presumably closer to the fairies, because they are also magic users.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they're not, like, 100% with the fairies.
I don't think so.
But I do think that
I don't think even a little percent. Like, I think that they are similar, but entirely disparate factions.
Right. I think they're working to similar means, but maybe not together.
Certainly not together.
Because both of them would be on the side of magic in the war.
Yeah.
But I think Bony magic works a little different from fairy magic. Bony magic seems to be self-contained. Like, it mostly affects the magic users. Like, they can transform themselves. They have some transformative properties over the world immediately around them, but they don't generally punish people with magic.
Right. Like, for the most part, as far as we've seen, fairy magic is of the natural world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To an extent. Like, it is naturally sort of occurring.
Yeah.
And Bony stuff seems to be reality bending.
Yeah.
Like, it is older and darker stuff.
Yeah, magic is transmutation...
Own. He's got his own strain.
Yeah.
For sure. He's older.
Yeah.
He's like primordial.
Yeah, the Bony, the Baba Yaga, and the Cherry Man are three primordial beings.
I would be willing to call Bony cosmic.
Yeah, something like that. Like he's up there. He's like top tier being.
Like Fairy magic is of this world,
yeah.
Like the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Bony magic is of like reality and the universe.
Yeah. It's of Bony world, which yeah. is who knows.
Bony magic is more eldritch magic.
Yes.
Baba Yaga magic is similar, a little bit more tied to like life and death, and therefore a little bit more tied into the cycle of the world. 'Cause Baba Yaga has control over like the times of day. As well.
Yeah.
Like her soul friends bring in the dusk, the mm-hmm. dawn, the nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
So she is a little bit more cyclical to the world.
I would say that even that is cosmic.
That's true. No, it's definitely bigger than the world itself, but I think she's more intrinsically linked to how this world
operates,
functions than Bony, who manipulates how the world functions.
Who is like almost subverting it.
Right.
Yeah.
So I feel like the Baba Yaga and the Bony are flip sides of the same coin, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So they're colleagues. They know each other. They will sometimes help each other out, but they're not on the same side.
No. Anything else about this story?
Fuck happened to those kids, though? Like, they just introduce a king who stops mattering, a foster daughter who stops mattering. Like, as soon as the real kid came up, the queen just, like, punt her out the window and was like, go find your beggar trash friend.
I mean, she sent her back to the agency.
I guess so.
She's going to temp somewhere else. It was just a resume builder.
It's kind of a shitty way to handle yeah. having kids, though.
Somewhere there is a support group for all of the fairy tale characters who are introduced only to be dropped and forgotten.
It's like the queen wanted a kid specifically to, like, scold them. And
she wanted the experience of kid.
Yeah. And she could get that with a foster kid. She didn't need to have a weird flower baby.
But she heard a better deal.
Right. Well, it was a new thing that she didn't have, so royalty rules
yeah.
apply. You gotta ditch what you've got for that thing.
Get the upgrade.
I think that was the last, like, really big plot hole.
I think further evidence that this was a bony plant was the fact that Tatterhood sails the ship to a particular king's place.
Uh-huh.
Like, they don't have any other wacky adventures that land them there.
Yeah, it seems like she knows where she wants to go.
Right, like, that was her mission, and she had to get sidetracked by being a pretend twin to this person. But
me and my sister are going over here. No reason. Give me a boat.
And she herself marries the prince who's going to rule for longer than the king will.
I think another just indicator, like, not that we even needed at this point, of connection to bony magic is how effortlessly the Island of Witches was defeated by a single person.
Yeah.
With a spoon.
It didn't even seem like it was a problem. No. It was just, this is part of the job.
Almost as if it was planned.
I'm glad that Tatterhood didn't get a knife and is indeed magic, because there was a bit there where I was like, do I have a new favorite? Like, Tatterhood seems like the kind of person who would wedgie and then, like, fucking swirly the robber girl.
Yes. Yeah.
I think she's definitely of bony ilk.
Yeah.
Same attitude, plus magic, plus flower, plus gold apple.
Mm-hmm.
And around the right region. Like, Norway is not too far off.
Yeah.
And I think we've had some bony activity in that direction as well. All right, well, that does it for me.
I'm satisfied.
Thank you to our patrons for helping us continue doing this show and for helping us grow it further. We've got some plans in the works that we'll be moving forward on very shortly.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you to Jenna for... Oh, do you want to do the top tier?
Thank you to our top tier patrons, Sarah, Robert, Haley, Whisper Biscuit, good name, Timothy, sponsor of the show this week, Dom, Justin, Jeremiah, Lily, Jenna, Jen, and Heather.
Thanks, top tier patrons.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jenna, for suggesting this story.
Thank you, Jenna.
Thank you, Jenna.
And thank you, Hidden Jester, for sponsoring it.
Thank you, Timothy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Timothy. Jester.
Thank you, Timothy Jester.
And thank you, always, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, the Neon.
Who did we add? I've already forgotten.
Thank you, Goat.
Thank you, Goat.
Thank you, Spoon.
Thank you, Spoon.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Toad. Rest in peace.
Thank you, Golden Apples.
Thank you, Golden Apples. Thank you, Roald Dahl. Did I say him already?
No, not yet. Not this time.
Thank you, Roald Dahl. Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
We're What the Folklore. That's how it works.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, ha-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.